the Attic Fleet had sent his plane down there to take some staff personnel down there and was going deadheading back to Norfolk. So I got to ride in this rather plush twin-engine Convair turboprop back in Norfolk. Mm-hmm. And then when I got back there, well, I was my car wasn't had been delayed coming back from Guantanamo Bay and wouldn't be coming for a couple of weeks yet. And so I took a plane and flew to back to Cleveland, Ohio, and joined my family there in Olmsted Falls. And I had to leave before I was to report into the Norfolk Naval Station for for my retirement procedures at the end of June. So I had a fair amount of time, and I remember I went to Lafayette, Indiana, and interviewed the talked to the people in Purdue. What I was doing now, I wanted to compare the two universities. Mm-hmm. I'd been accepted by both, so mm-hmm. I was going to visit both and make my choice. And I went to and had a nice visit with the head of the retired officers program there. I've talked with a couple of retired officers that I knew or friends of mine from years in the service who were there, had taken the course. One of them stayed on as a professor at the university, and had a chance to size it up. Then I believe I flew out to South Dakota for a few days and visited with my parents, and that turned out to be the last time I saw my father alive. Of course, I didn't know at the time. This would be in the somewhere around the middle of June. And he took me to the airport from Chamberlain to Sioux Falls to get to the airport. It was about 150 miles. And I said goodbye to my father and mother at the airport and flew back to Ohio. And then I went down to, back down to Norfolk to getting near the end of the month then to be processed for retirement. My car by then would have was arriving in the States, and I could pick it up. And so I did go through my retirement procedure there and processing, and was retired on the 1st of July 1961. I remember leaving. I left Norfolk on the 30th day of June and drove to Durham. Now I'm going to get my look at Duke. And so I went over there, and I got there in the evening and spent the night in a motel, and went and found the campus the next day, and went to the mathematics department and saw Professor Reynolds, one of the mathematics professors who was more or less administratively in charge of our program. And he gave me a personally conducted tour of the campus, parts of the campus at least, and walked around and climbed the tower in the chapel, went up there and looked at it, and showed me the classrooms and dormitory for a living and things like that. And he knows, he just, when he finished that, my decision was made. I said, I told Professor Reynolds, Dr. Reynolds, well, I appreciate the offer of Duke to take me, and I'm coming. I elect to come here, and I'll write my letter of regret to Purdue. And so I went back to Ohio and I've made a decision that the school would be starting in a few days, summer school. Our course ran from the began with the second of the summer term in 61 and ran to the second of the summer term in 62. And so I went I went back to Ohio and arranged for located a house from a family to live in there, and decided to
you're gonna leave them in Ohio,
leave them up there in the same town with my mother in law, and just figured probably I'm gonna have to do an awful lot of hard work, a lot of hard studying. And so I found another captain who was doing the same thing. He was leaving his family in Washington, and we were roommates in the men's graduate center there. That's what it was called then, right across from the nursing school there, and on the campus at Duke. It was Captain Fitzhugh L. Palmer, class of 36. He was a naval aviator, and he put in for this program, and he was retired at the same time I was. Class of 35 and 36 retired together, and those who were not selected for continuation. And so we had a very delightful year there as roommates, congenial, and we did an awful lot of hard studying, both of us. I was just kind of glad my family wasn't there. Most of the others had their families with them, and they had to go home at night. And but living in the dormitory, while we were able to concentrate on math, the mathematics and all, and I sure didn't. I never worked so hard in my life as I did that 12 months. It was just had to really work to keep up. And in '62. Yeah, we finished the course in '62, and then I went home. And I've got to straighten my story. Then I can see right now. I did not go home to South Dakota in the summer of '61 when I was back there. It was in the summer of '62, just as I had. I finished at Duke, and I. I'll tell you, it wasn't then either. It was in June of '62, between the end of the semester, the spring semester, and the beginning of summer school. I would try to be so careful about it, except that it was near the end of my father's life. And that's when I went back in June of '62 and saw my father and mother, and arranged to get a lot of my stuff that had been in my effects, which had been in my father's, stored in his law office for years in the basement, personal effects, shipped to Ohio, and for the Navy to pick them up. And I was the Navy Naval Air Station at the Minneapolis had a supply officer attached, and I contacted them by phone. They handled the whole thing, and they moved stuff out of my father's law office and got it shipped to Ohio. And then, having finished my work at Duke, I'd previously contacted visited four colleges around here in the spring of '62, and among which was Lewisburg. And in fact, I visited Charlotte College, now the University of North Carolina at Charlotte, and the Campbell College at Buies Creek, now Campbell University, of course, and Lewisburg College, and Westminster College up in Pennsylvania. Visited all four of them, and wasn't too worried about getting a job, because in those days, while you're a mathematics teacher, they were looking for
a premium.
They were at a premium. And I was offered a position at all four places. All four offered me a teaching position. And I was well received at all four. I talked to Dr. Campbell himself at Campbell, and Mr. Goodrum over at Charlotte College is very nice. acting head of the mathematics department, and Mr. Brown was very nice up in New Wilmington, Pennsylvania, there at Westminster College, and Dr. Robbins at Lewisburg College. And so when we finished up there, why visiting those four colleges, my wife had come down to Durham just to go along with me on those, visiting those four. Why we decided we liked Lewisburg. We liked Franklin County and North Carolina and Lewisburg, and so we decided to accept that, and that's why we came here. And had 16 delightful years of teaching at Lewisburg College. And I found the career every bit as rewarding as my career in the Navy. Every bit as rewarding. And working with young people in the mathematics class was very, very delightful. And always enjoyed mathematics anyway. I never was really gifted at it, really wasn't smart at it, but it was always challenging and rewarding. And now, if I was to do it all over again, yes, I would. It was a very rewarding career. The Navy was very fine to me. I enjoyed the work all the time throughout. Probably the time I probably enjoyed it the least was my time in 37, 38 as engineer officer of the Reuben James. Old, battered World War I type destroyer, machinery old. I'd never had any practical engineering. It was all book engineering from the Naval Academy. I didn't feel very well equipped.
But that was an important learning experience.
But that was a real important learning experience. Yeah. So that probably, I wouldn't miss it. It was good. I'm proud to have had that job, and I learned an awful lot of engineering fast, and I had a wonderful skipper, Lieutenant Commander Callahan, who had been one of my engineering instructors at the Naval Academy. Probably the one I enjoyed the most, probably of all, was command of the Ammon in the last year of World War II. That was probably the highlight of my naval career, being at some 31 years old and having command of a nice new big modern destroyer. All the years that I've been a junior officer, why the commanding officers of destroyers were all 17, 18 years out of the Naval Academy. Mm-hmm. Here I was 9 years out of the academy. They were all commanding old World War I, 4 Vipers and so on. Here I was commanding a new modern destroyer at 9 years out. That was probably the highlight of my naval career. Does this envisage what you had in mind now, pretty much my naval career? I'm ready to close. I would just like to pay tribute to two of my professors at the Naval Academy, who were civilian professors in the Department of English and History. First, Professor Royal S. Pease. A very learned man, a very gracious, rather quiet. I think he was a bachelor all of his life. I believe he was. And had a very quiet, somewhat introspective way of talking, but carried such conviction. Very gracious. Somewhat self-effacing, and it was a joy to be in his English class and history class. I developed in some of my research for my term papers a great interest in the very southern part of South America, Patagonia in particular, because of the battles of Coronel and the Falkland Islands in World War I. He was my professor at the time, and he said, I know of a retired commander out here in town who was executive officer of the ship that spent a lot of time down there in Patagonian waters. He's a retired commander, a classmate of Admiral Hart, the superintendent. He says I'd arrange to go out and visit him at his home some Sunday afternoon. Mm. And he took me out there. Mm. He didn't have to do that, but he did. The other was Professor Alan B. Cook, quite a different type, a Naval Academy graduate, class of 1921, I believe, but had retired for physical disability a few years after he was commissioned. He too was in the Department of English and History. Quite a different type, more outgoing, more hail fellow well meant, ebullient. Talk with, one word I could say, I believe, given a little at times a kind of gushing, he was so friendly and jovial, and also a good, a fine professor. And it was a joy to be in his class. I remember once he used the word in class in my senior year and said, pronounced a word, memory never left me. He said situation or rule might take precedence over another. And I was just mortified, shocked. You know, I thought, well, I've always said precedence. Mm-hmm. Something will take precedence. Or mm-hmm. Here's a fine English teacher, and he can't even pronounce the words right. When I got back to Bancroft Hall, I got my dictionary out and looked up the word, and there it was. As precedence is equally acceptable with precedence. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, well, Brown, where the hell have you been all these years? I've never heard of that word, and anybody ever speak of. Now, precedent, a noun, yes, uh-huh. Precedent. But precedence and precedence, I'd always used precedence. Anybody who had ever come in contact had used precedence. But he taught me to use precedence. So now I use that most of the time. That's one thing I learned from my professor. These two gentlemen were very fine professors, and I just wanted to pay tribute to him in closing.
This is the final interview and the end of the oral history memoir of Captain James H. Brown, U.S. Navy, retired.